good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning, and hopefully we got some on the YouTube page or whatever. And let's go ahead and start this morning on page 29, At the Cross. The ones can, please stand.
Alas, did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond the tree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and look his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died, and the creature said. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But God the Greek can irritate the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Brother Richard, you mind opening some prayer this morning? Amen. Y'all may be seated. Page 212, Oh Happy Day. Happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may the glowing heart rejoice and tell his raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to him that merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house with the sacred throne of blue. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. This done, great transaction done, and in my Lord, He is mine. He drew in and fallen on, trying to confess the voice divine. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long divided heart, fixed in His bliss, a sinner rest. No, never will my Lord depart, with Him that every good possess. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn to page 230, Heavenly Sunlight.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep bed. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. Roses around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in Him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to His side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen. I guess we'll do one more. What you feel like, brother? Let's go to 55. When the roll's caught up yonder. 55.
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is
caught up yonder,
when the road is caught up yonder,
when the road is caught up yonder,
I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, in the glory of his resurrection shed, when his chosen ones shall gather over on the other sky, the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all his life is over and our work on earth is done, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the road is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. All right, let's go to 205. Page 205, he keeps me singing.
Sweet and low, fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still, and on thy ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Life was wrecked by sin and strife. This scar filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken string, strung the spoken chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, this is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On the last, soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight with worlds unknown, I shall ring with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Having some technical difficulties, never a dull moment, amen. I do ask you to pray for Brother Glenn Bond. He is in ICU, not doing well. Just pray God's will be done. Pray for the family through this time. Of course, Sister Jolene has it as well, but she is doing better with it. Brother Bond is definitely up and down, and I do know that they were able to talk last night, and he was responsive, so continue to pray for them. Also, Brother Sammy Allen, it amazes me at all of these that... No, never mind, I'm not going to say a word. Anyway, pray for the safety of everyone. Pray for all these that want to pretend like it's not real, because these are real people in real need, and there's many like them. I don't care if there's only 2% of the population. I don't want to be one of those two. And so I want to be wise with it. We got some birthdays. Brother Carey's birthday is today. Sister Woody's is tomorrow, so we need to sing happy birthday to them. And definitely pray for our church, pray for our nation. We've got such turmoil right now, and it's really sad to me to watch it. And honestly, it makes me sick. It makes me sick to watch our nation and the games of it and the lies being pushed. So let's pray. Let's sing happy birthday to these two. Sister Woody, I think, should be online now, having technical difficulties with YouTube. And, well, Brother Carey's in person, so we get to sing to him. In fact, I think he gets swats. How many swats do you get today? Amen. He came in person to get them. Amen. And so we'll take care of that after the service and wish him a happy birthday. I do want to thank everyone as well. Listen, I know you may say the preacher's extreme. I really don't care. If we want to have service inside the church, if we want to continue to have service besides just YouTube, then, I appreciate everyone's, obedience. Guess what I'm going to have to do tomorrow or whenever I decide that I'm going to go to the store? I get to wear a mask. Praise the Lord. I guess we've got a full enough freezer. I might let it run down a little bit. Amen. I am not a... Also with that, you know, our governor had put out, there's four things that we need to do for 4 weeks. Four things for 4 weeks. He wants us to wear a mask. And by the way, the mask isn't to keep you from getting sick. It's if you're sick, it'll keep others from getting sick. Hopefully it catches it right there. But if you're wearing your mask down here like a chin strap, it ain't catching nothing. Amen? I'm just being honest with you. That's some of the hostility coming out. I guess the preacher's getting cooped up and tired of the games. But the problem is if you think, if you have a possibility, stay home. Praise the Lord. You don't need to go anywhere. Right. Amen. Hey, I've got to go get tested, but I'm going to do everything that I want to do. No. When Jacob had to get tested, guess what we did? Nothing until we got the results. It's just what it is. Thankfully, he was negative. Thankfully, Taryn was negative. Amen. We got some others that we know. Hopefully, they're negative as well. We're praying for everyone. But the problem that we have today is we're a selfish nation. It's all about me and your inconvenience in me. But you don't realize that what you're needing to do is protect everyone else but you. And that's where we really need to go up. Boy, I don't know if we need to sing another song. I just need to preach. But our governor asked us to wear a mask, to maintain social distancing, I don't remember what the other one was. The fourth one was continue to follow all those executive orders, which if you remember all of his executive orders, you're doing better than I am. The main one that I remember is that the political game of you can't add or take away from what I've said. And now we're, as a nation, as a state of Georgia, we're suing the Atlanta mayor. And then as the mayor of Savannah, you're suing the governor of Georgia. It's all a game. It's a mockery. It's a joke. And what we need to do is if you don't need something, don't do it. It's not time to go hang out. I'm just being honest. It's not time to hang out. The part that bothers me is these that have had losses that weren't able in the beginning to even have a funeral as they know it. It was just the fact that it was a loss. And I think about Brother Bond. He's in the ICU right now. The only way his family can see him was through a Zoom video. They had a teleconference. in a time when the doctor called and said, hey, family probably needs to get together. He could pass at any time. So pray for that and pray for that situation. Amen. All right, Brother Russell, lead us in happy birthday. I don't know if I can sing happy birthday. I might have to sing birthday.
Amen. Amen. All right. Everybody ready?
Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday to y'all. Happy birthday, God bless y'all. Happy birthday to y'all.
Amen. All right. Well, let's stand and turn to page 374. Send the light. Page 374.
There's a call come ringing over restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. Limitless gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. Bless the gospel light, let it shine, shore to shore, let it shine, light. Bless the gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Appreciate everyone coming this morning. Amen. We'll take the Bible, turn over to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 16. Psalm chapter 16. Amen. If I get too amplified, I'll run back and turn off the pulpit mic, but I don't think I have either one of them on that high. I think we'll be all right. Psalm 16, when you get there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm chapter number 16, and verse number 1. Psalm 16 and verse number 1. Psalm 16 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth.
and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is my portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you, Father, for the grace, the mercy that you give us today, that we're able to come to your house, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, to sing the songs of Zion. Father, I do pray that you would just help me today. Father, I definitely have that flesh wanting to rear up. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help me. Father, I need to preach in the Spirit today. I need to preach with your unction. I need a fresh anointing from on high. I pray that you would give me a calm, Lord, that only you can give me. And then, Lord, I pray, Father, as well, that your word would be proclaimed. I pray, Father, that your will would be done. I pray, Father, that your work would continue to move forward. And, Father, help us not to lose sight of what your desires are in our life. And, Father, this time that we're looking at, oh, God, I beg you to do a work in our country. I beg you, Lord, to touch our nation. Father, work through the churches. Father, don't allow us to be arrogant to the point that we're trying to make a name or trying to have a false stand, Lord, but instead we would just be where you want us. And Lord, that the glory would all be yours. And we just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I would say that we're living in a time of crisis, and some would say because of the pandemic that's going on, and COVID is not the crisis. The crisis that we would find would be the hatred and the protesting and the just the anger and the agendas and the lies that are being pushed. It's sad to me to think, and I know this whole month so far we've focused on America. I don't know that there's ever a time where we need to quit focusing on America. I know that God's work is in the church, but may I tell you, He's placed the church in America to do a work in America. And I'm still thankful that it's the greatest nation on this earth, and I'm thankful that God's blessed us in spite of us. But may I tell you, it breaks my heart to watch what's going on and how our country's falling apart and how the dividing lines are being placed. And may I tell you, there's some out there today, there's several parties and several people that have agendas going both ways, and they're false agendas. They're not godly agendas at all. And I would even dare to say within some of our churches, the agenda is not the real battle that we need to face. May I tell you that there's still people that need to be reached with the gospel. There's still souls that need to be saved. And my stand is not here to argue. Instead, my stand should be to preach the gospel. And there's several groups that are pushing this wrong agenda that don't care about you or anyone else. And they don't care about history at all. They want to corrupt it, and they want to use it as a wrong motive. I don't know the tallies because I didn't write them down, but I do believe that every soldier or every one that's died in the wars should be remembered. I believe that that's important in our nation. Every battle that we've ever fought is important. Amen. I believe. You know, it's amazing how many people want to fly the flag that you'll not be forgotten. the missing in action and the POWs will not be forgotten. But I wonder how many times we've forgotten that our young men and women that have died on the battlefield for our freedoms. Amen. And yet, we're trying to erase the Civil War. Amen. We're trying to say that it didn't even exist, that we need to forget all of those lives, and by the way, every one of them was an American citizen. The tally that had lasted for 100 years and was considered to be an accurate tally was 618,222 men that had died, total Americans, both North and South, 618,000 American soldiers died. Historians have came back and said that that number is not near high enough. Instead, they've looked all the way up to 750,000 American soldiers that died in the Civil War. And now we're trying to say just erase it all because the cause which they're trying to pollute as an agenda was nothing to do with the race, nothing to do with skin color. It was everything to do with government involvement. It's amazing to me. And I don't care if you like him or don't like him, but Robert E. Lee was one of the most stellar American citizens that we ever had. He was a man that disabled slavery. He didn't even like slavery. He wasn't fighting against or for slavery. He didn't own a slave, but yet we say because he was a great general in the American Army, the Confederate American Army. But after the Confederacy, he went and he was teaching Union soldiers how to fight. He was born a poor man, and yet we take him down and we say, I don't care if you like him or not. I don't care how many dislikes we get on Facebook or on YouTube, whatever we're on. I don't care. Let's just go ahead and shoot the truth. Ulysses S. Grant was a drunk. Let's take him down. George Washington owned slaves. Thomas Jefferson had a child out of a slave that he owned. Let's take him down. Let's get rid of him. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We're trying to rewrite history anyway. If there's one people in this world that could ever say that I don't like history, it should be the Jewish people. Right. I mean, throughout history, they've been persecuted. I mean, real persecution. They've been enslaved. They've been tortured. And now we're trying to say that the Holocaust didn't even exist. Hold on a second. May I tell you that history's not even in our agenda today. They could remove everything and make it sterile. We could have it to where there's no dividing lines. There's no remembrance of history. May I tell you, I'm thankful for our forefathers. I am. I'm thankful for George Washington. I'm thankful for Thomas Jefferson, for Benjamin Franklin. I'm thankful for Robert E. Lee. I'm thankful for Ulysses S. Grant. I'm thankful for these that stood. But I don't believe that they should be idolized. Amen. Hey, I believe that Martin Luther King Jr. had some good ideas. He had some right direction, but I don't believe he should be idolized. Amen. There, you know what the problem with history is? Is that every historian looks down and they look at a man or a woman. And you know what you'll be able to find in every one of them's lives? Corruption. Corruption. And so I'm not worried about history. And the problem with rewriting history or removing history is that it's going to repeat itself. Do you know where we are right now? A nation divided. Yes, it will not stand. But a nation divided is what we had in the 1860s. And we started a civil war. Just a thought. Say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, I'm more concerned with my heritage than my history. I'm concerned with my heritage, not my history. Oh, yes, I believe it's important. I believe that we should look at these in good and bad and other. You know, I remember growing up and thinking that Custer was a good soldier. Hey, I mean, honestly, how many times as a child did you not play Cowboys and Indians? Go ahead, get mad at me. We did. And no one wanted to be the Indian. I've heard of a man there, he was a preacher on the reservation. He said, He was off of the reservation when he grew up, and he said, you know how awful it was? They always made me the Indian. Go ahead. You say, preacher, that's racist. No, he was an Indian. Hello. We've got this idea that, look, I've got a chip on my shoulder. I dare you to knock it off. It was history. It was history. Shouldn't we learn from it? Shouldn't we learn from it? You see, history versus heritage. Let me give you a definition that I found. Heritage is not history. It is not what happened in the past, but what has survived from the past. That's a good thought. You see, history is what really took place, and by the way, it's only written by those that won. And yet we find that we have something passed down that we can rejoice in. Something passed down that I don't have to protest in. Something passed down that they can't touch. They can't tear it down. They can't remove it. They can't tell me I can't have it. Amen. I have a heritage. In verses 1 through 7 of Psalm 16, we find here that David is speaking. This is about David. Verses 1 through 7 is speaking of David's testimony. David is the psalmist in this account. But then in verse number 8 through 11, it switches over and it becomes a messianic psalm. A messianic psalm, and the idea that this is really Christ speaking. If we were to go, and I don't want you to take your time and go over there, but in Acts chapter number 2, verses 25 through 28, Peter is preaching about the fact that David had seen corruption. If you would look down here in Psalm chapter number 16, this is what he's referring to. He said in verse number 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." May I tell you, this isn't David speaking. David saw corruption. David's still dead physically today. I'm thankful that his soul and his spirit is in heaven in the presence of God forever. But may I tell you that he stayed dead. He didn't arise from the grave. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, I'm going to show you verse 8 through 11 here in a moment towards the end, and we're going to look here at the example that we have in our Savior. But I like verses 1 through 7, and I want to specifically preach out of verse number 6, and we'll look at all of them today. But I want this thought to be what you see. Look at verse number 6. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." I'd like to give you some definitions to start us off, if you wouldn't mind. We find here it says the lines are fallen. Now, this line would just simply be, lines were used to measure out an area. It would be property boundaries, or it was used to measure or divide land. And therefore, the word has came to denote a portion or inheritance measured out. If we would name it today, we'd say it was a possession. All right, a possession. Now, I look here and I find that it says in verse number 6, he says, "The lines are fallen." Now, I don't know about you, but when I begin to think about fallen, it's not usually in a good sense. I believe, you know, as we think about the stock market falling, it's not good. You know, when we think about us falling, we were talking the other day, I guess it was yesterday, we were talking about a slip and slide and how much fun we had as a slip and slide. It's not fun anymore. You say, preacher, why is that? I've gotten to that age that it's not fun. Amen. It hurts. And so you think about even a fall. Could you imagine the devastation? And that word fall means cast down. You say, preacher, what's the significance? He says the lines are fallen. Boy, I wouldn't want this, or I wouldn't like this. That's exactly what everyone says. You see, most people today really don't want this heritage. Most people today don't want an inheritance that God has lined out. Most people today are more involved or more encouraged by some great sum of money, by some great amount or some great accomplishment, instead of what God has divided out as a possession for them. And the psalmist here, David, he says that, look, the lines are divided, or the lines are fallen to me. Most would even count this as worthless. But I want you to notice where they fell. Look at where they fell. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Now I want to encourage everyone at this time to take a deep breath. Now I guess because of everything going on, maybe you want to, if you exhale, clear your mouth. I don't know. But take a deep breath and just... We begin to get so frustrated over all the turmoil that's going on. I can't help. I think Jacob had showed me this, I don't know, whatever, meme or picture or whatever. I think it was on Crackbook. But he had it said that if 2020 was a person, and it showed a picture of Nellie off a little house on the prairie. And, you know, it's a... Just the turmoil that's went on. How many times do we really get to that place that we're just... I'm telling you, there's some. I'm ready to kick doors down again. Let's go. I'm ready. Let's charge forward. I'm to the point, and I don't even know who I'm really mad at. I'm just mad at stupidity. Does that make sense? The stupidity of everything that's going on. I want to whoop its tail. Amen. And it's amazing that God didn't put us there. No, the inheritance that I have, the heritage that I have, it's fallen in pleasant places. May I tell you, there's one thing that we all need to do from the pulpit to the pew, is sometimes it's just a matter of we need to take a deep breath and remember where God's put us in our heritage. That there is a place of calm in the middle of this storm. That there is a place that we can relax and a place that we can enjoy in Him and rest in Him. And so he goes on and he says here that I have a goodly heritage. You see, as I'm dwelling in this pleasant place of my heritage, I begin to look at this heritage. And that word goodly means to be. Now, I want to express to you in this definition, I want you to catch the future tense of it. Goodly means to be pleasing, be beautiful, be fair, be comely, be bright, glisten. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Because sometimes it don't even seem like this heritage is that beautiful right now. Sometimes it doesn't even seem like it's even that important right now. But it's a goodly heritage. That means it's far more valuable than you realize in present day. Because it's an heritage from the Lord. That heritage just simply means possession, property, inheritance, portion. I can't tell you that each one of us are in the same place. I can't tell you that each one of us have the same amount of portion. But I can tell you that God has given us a greater blessing than you'll ever know. And it's called a goodly heritage. Far more important than all the history that they're trying to rewrite. I have a heritage that they cannot touch. Notice, if you would, the first heritage that we have, and hopefully you have this, but it's available to you today if you don't, and it's the fact that I have a salvation that they can't take away. Amen? They cannot take it away. You say, preacher, how did you get that? Verse number one. In Psalm 16, verse number one, notice this. Preserve me. What does that mean? Save me. Save me. Now how? He says, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. Boy, I'm thankful that my salvation is only in the fact that I cried out to Him and I said, preserve me, O God. It's You and You only that I put my trust. Now, one of the problems that we have today in America is I'm going to put my trust in God and then I'm going to also put part of my trust in what I can do, or I'm going to put part of my trust in what man can do, or one of those things. Now, I don't know how many had watched the governor on Friday, but we did tune into it and I was listening to him live news break. And I don't know how many got that. And boy, I don't even know how important it was. I did find that they believe that you need to be in school in the physical location. Now, Sister Duke, I know you're a teacher, so don't get mad at me. But his reasons for it wasn't necessarily better education. His reason was because they'd get better nutrition. Because they get two meals. Now, hold on a second. I have no idea why we give food stamps in America. if we're going to send them to school so that they can get better nutrition. The second reason was to decrease sex trafficking. That's why you need to send your kids to school. Listen, I'm not lying. It was because sex trafficking would increase. Now, mind you, the only hours of sex trafficking would be from 7 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, think of that. But also, and I'm not trying to make a mockery of it, but hold on a second. Are we really putting our trust in what man has came up with? I agree that not everyone can homeschool. Not everyone is disciplined enough to homeschool. Let's just be honest with that. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to teach yourself. I remember when I was going to school online, and I had some coworkers that worked with me, and they're like, I don't know how in the world you do it. I said, I have to set a time. This I'm going to be on it, and this is what I'm going to do. I see the goal ahead. And it takes some discipline. You know what America is lacking today? Discipline. Amen. You say, preacher, that's my phone. Amen. That's a good ringtone right there. Anyone who doesn't like the banjo is just, well, I'll pray for you. Amen. Pray that you'll cry out, preserve me, O God. Amen. But someone sent me a text. I don't know if that was an amen or if that was a, I'm shooting for you. I don't know. But, you know, whoo, preacher's on it today. You know what's sad? As we watch America, and America is no different than the rest of the world. They're trusting in everyone but God alone. You'll never have salvation trusting in God and. I look, and this preservation, I'd like to take you over to the book of John, chapter number 10. Hold your place in the book of Psalm now, because we're coming right back. But look over in John, chapter number 10. You know, I'm thankful that when I cried out, and the Bible tells us, and just for those that might not remember and those that might be tuning in on YouTube and never heard, but the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us in this room or on YouTube or wherever in this world, period, all have sinned. Every single one of us is a sinner. You say, preacher, yeah, so what? That's really not that big of a deal. If everyone's got it, well, that becomes a big deal when you realize that that sin has a wage. And in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says that for the wages of sin is death. Now, hold on, that puts a whole different perspective on it. Now you're accountable. You know, another thing that we don't like in America is accountability. I did like it that the governor had put out that why mandate to wear masks when you're not enforcing the mandates that I've already put out? And his response to one of the reporters that had asked him, he had mentioned that I want you to understand that people in Georgia speed. And he was thanking his sister Lindsay. Amen. And, you know, that's a truth. Listen, so we already got people that break the law. Now, the problem is that when you get caught speeding, you don't want the ticket that goes with it. And that's called accountability. Right. If you're going to break it, listen, if you're going to do the crime, you're going to do the time. And we think that, well, three strikes and then I'm out. And really, three strikes and, well, then I'll have another. If I ask real nice, you'll give me a fourth swing. And I'll knock this one out of the park. And then you strike out again and you want another one. Well, with God, it's not that way. He says, for the wages of sin is death. You say, preacher, what am I going to do? Well, in Revelation chapter number 20, verses 14 and 15, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, preacher, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Because Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm thankful that when I called on Jesus Christ to save me, you say, preacher, how'd you do that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You might not say it as Psalmist did here in Psalm 16 and verse 1. Preserve me, O Lord, or preserve me, O God. In Thee I put my trust. You might not say it like that. You might say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. There's no such thing as a magical prayer. The whole point behind it is coming to Him and only trusting in Him. And then what does He do? Well, He saves you. He keeps you right here. Look at John chapter number 10. In John chapter number 10, we find what He does with you. I'm thankful he doesn't say, all right, I'm just going to put you over here. No, he preserves you. He holds on to you. In John 10, look at verse 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What is that? He preserved you. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so, may I tell you that I can freely sing, no, I'm not going to hell. Amen. It's all because I had called out to Him. It doesn't matter what Nancy Pelosi says. It doesn't matter what Mitch McConnell says. No one can change my heritage of salvation. Amen. They can't take it away, because I was dependent upon the Savior. But then I look as well, I have a delight because of my salvation. Not just the dependence on my Savior, but I have a delight in His saints. Amen. In verses 2 and 3 of our text, he goes on there and he says, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness endureth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Well, David was delighted in the brethren. May I tell you, there's some things I can rejoice in. As much as I get discouraged and ready to whoop stupid's tail, amen, I'm thankful I can delight in godly living. There's some folks, and listen, they're not all down here in the Bible Belt. There's some folks living all over this world that still believe in godly living. They believe in living according to the Word of God, not according to what Jeff Spencer says, not according to what someone says, but instead according to what God says, because they're His saints. You say, preacher, what's the difference in them? They've also asked Him to preserve them. And He's came in, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you see, they've got this new life, and David says, I can delight in that. And so as much as we get to that place that we get tired of the news and we get tired of what they're doing and we get tired of stupid, I can still rejoice in the saints. I can still rejoice in those that live godly. You say, preacher, why is that? Because God delights in them too. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 3, the first part of that verse, he says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Do you realize that the saints are God's heritage? That's the context of that passage. He's speaking about pastors are not to be lords over them. Instead, they're to be examples to the flock. Amen. But they're God's heritage. You know why God wants us to delight? Because, well, guess what? I don't care if you like each other. You're going to live by each other. Amen. We're going to worship for all eternity with each other. It doesn't matter. And so there should be a delight that we have. And may I tell you, they cannot touch that. They can't take it away. Amen. Hey, listen. I know that the church is different. Boy, praise the Lord. I was so ready to throw YouTube out the window. I was going to call the CEO. I don't even know who it is. Probably some liberal. Amen. I guarantee it. They'd go, church. Church isn't supposed to be on YouTube anyway. That's the reason we got you blocked. Amen. I don't know. And maybe it would have been Satan himself. but there would have been this idea. I was ready to throw it out the window. But you realize how many wasn't going to be able to watch today if I did? Church may be redefined. We don't know what it's going to go to. We don't know how far we're going to be able to go. And boy, we got everyone spread out and everyone doing what we're supposed to do. And praise the Lord for it. But listen, we're still going to have the opportunity to come because we're still God's children. Amen. I seen Brother Ed over in the Philippines. Had a little bitty group together that he was able to preach to. Boy, I'm thankful for that. You realize in the Philippines they're still doing it. In Brazil they're still doing it. In India they're still... God's people are still together. It might be smaller. It might be distance learning. It might be virtual church. But praise the Lord, we can still delight in Him. Notice as well, we find that I have a salvation they can't take away. But I also have a supply they can't tax. Amen. Anyone wants to preach good there, that's where you preach good. Amen. I have a supply that they cannot tax. Look at verse number 5. In verse number 5 it says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. And so I find here that God has given us riches. First of all, I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Ephesians. I'd like to introduce you to the riches of grace. Riches of grace. Now, I don't know if you've ever bought a home, owned a home, paid property tax. Well, you're at their mercy. They get to tell you how much it's worth and how much tax value it's going to be. Amen. I know you can. You say, preacher, you can appeal it. It doesn't mean it's going to be accepted. You can tell them all day long that you're tired of stupid. But it doesn't mean they're going to listen. Amen. And they will take your place and they're going to assess it, and you're going to pay the taxes on what they assess it to be. Now, they do some nice math for you, and they tell you that they're going to go off of a millage rate, and they're going to reduce it down, and you're really only going to pay this at this amount of millage rate, because then they're going to depreciate. They're going to do all of this stuff, and all it is watch my hands. Right there. It's a good number, isn't it? It's less than this number, so it's a better number. Amen. I'd like this number. But you know, they don't realize that I have a supply that they can't put an appraisal value on. There's no amount of money that could ever be placed on it. And God freely gives it to me. They can't tax it. They can't even estimate a tax on it. Notice, first of all, that I have the riches of His grace. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, I want you to look at verse number 1. Ephesians 1 and verse number 1, I'm sorry, I want you to look at verse number 7. Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according, notice this, to the riches of His grace. And I know you're going to say, preacher, I thought we already talked about salvation and how great it is. May I tell you, I still haven't gotten over it. It's still good to be saved. You say, preacher, why is that? Because His grace hasn't ran out. Look over at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, look at verse number 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. There they are again. Now, not only did we find in verse number 1 that we have redemption through His blood according to the riches of His grace, in verse number 7 of chapter 2 we find that He shows us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, but not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm still forgiven. And when I get angry at everything going on, and I calm down and I say, Lord, that anger isn't right, you know what He says? Still forgiven. I know maybe you don't have the same issues as your preacher does. Maybe you say, preacher, I just don't know why you're so upset like that. I don't know. But I know I can calm down and I can come to Him and go, Lord, I'm in those pleasant places. And I still have the riches of His grace. You see, we have grace that we're forgiven at the first place, but then we have grace added to grace, and He keeps forgiving and He keeps loving and He keeps giving grace. And so I find that I'm rich in His grace, and they can't tax that. Then I find as well I'm rich in His glory. Ephesians 1, look at verse 18. Ephesians 1, verse number 18. I'm rich in His glory. In verse number 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now listen, go on over to chapter 3 real quick with me, and then I'll preach to you for a second. Look at chapter 3, verse number 16. He says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Let me explain some things to you. God gives us grace for salvation, but this riches of His glory is speaking about the fact that He provides everything else too. Aren't you glad that He forgave you? And then He said, look, you're mine, and so I'm going to give you everything else and everything that you need. You need strength. I've got it. You need food? I'll supply it. Now, there's a problem that we have. Say, preacher, what's that? Well, we have a comfort factor. There's not a single person, listen to me, I know that I'm going to get some people to ruffle their feathers right now. Don't worry about it. I have chickens. I know how to handle it. Amen? But there's no one in America that is as poor as we think we are. I could take you to some countries and show you what poor really looks like. And yet, we think that God doesn't supply everything we need. May I tell you how much God supplies above what we need? Over and over and over. Why? Because I'm rich. You know one of the greatest things that God revealed to me? And I know some of you would say it's not about money, and it's not. Because God's far above money. He's made $20 go far more than $20 is ever supposed to go. I've seen it in my own life. I remember a time when we were still coming up and going and doing, and God said, I'll show you something. Now listen, we all know the saying, there's only two things that you got to do. Pay taxes is one of them. Amen. And God said, I can get you around that. You say, preacher, you're around taxes? Now hold on a second, listen to me. When I took the post 9/11 GI Bill to go to school, the government paid for all my education. Hey, boy, praise the Lord. You know what they didn't do? Count that as income. They didn't tax it. Not one dime was taxed. Then on top of that, they paid me housing allowance. You know what's not taxed in the government? Housing allowance. They paid me a housing allowance to go to school. So not only did they pay all of my college, I'm talking about all the way through bachelor's degree college, to an aeronautical university that was not cheap, they also paid me to go. And God said, I'm going to show you don't have to pay taxes on any of it. Oh, then they gave me a book stipend and paid for most of my books. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? They can't tax the riches of God. They can't touch it. You know what else I did? I made it riches to His glory. Because as much as Uncle Sam couldn't touch it, I gave it to God. So when they paid for my college, that I didn't have to pay for, you know what that was? Tithed. I tithed off of it. That income that they gave me, that book stipend that they gave me, oh yeah, I tithed off of that too. Say, preacher, why is that? Because it was His riches. And He said, let me give it to you. Listen, if the government would have got a hold of it, it would have been a minimum of 28% and 32% in most cases. Right. Amen. And all I did was give God 10. Almost seems stingy, doesn't it? Hello? Because God is above all of this that's going on. And He says, look, you have a heritage. Where is it? In the pleasant places. Oh, I know how to take care of you, son. He said, and they can't tax it. Well, I don't know about y'all. Now listen to me. I truly believe the Scripture. And the Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. He does. I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But God says, look, let me show you something. Let me give it to you. And when God gives it, no man can corrupt it. And so I find I have a heritage in a pleasant place. I have a salvation they can't take away. I have a supply they can't tax. And I have a stand they can't turn aside. Look at verse number 8 of our text. Look at verse number 8. We'll close in this thought. This is my last point. I'm not going to preach to you all day. Verse number 8. I told you that before, this is Jesus speaking. This is a messianic psalm right here. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Oh, may I tell you that I have a stand that can't turn away because I've set my sights on the Lord. May I tell you who my example is? May I tell you the one that I set my sights on? Oh, I'm going to set my sights on the Lord. I'm going to set my sights on Him. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They can't touch my faith. They can't make me waver. They can't make me fall. Oh, listen. We've got this idea of all this turmoil going on and how it affects us. May I tell you, it doesn't affect my stand whatsoever. Take your Bibles, look over the book of Philippians chapter 2. Let me show you why. If we'd ever get our eyes focused on Him and realize that He's the one that's got that stand that's not going to move, that He's that rock that's not going to shift, He's that one that's not going to waver. He's that one that's going to continue to pick you up. He's that place where you don't have to worry about sinking. And we'll focus on Him. Then we can stand to where they can't turn us aside. Notice, if you would, Philippians chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 5. Now, I know that it's the Apostle Paul that penned this down, but I'd really like you to understand that this is God speaking. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, I'm thankful that He took my death. I was quoting part of Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen to the rest of that verse. For who the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know how we could say that the death at Calvary was really such a joy. No, he saw past Calvary. Why? Because it was a heritage. It was a heritage. It's exactly the heritage he wanted was you and me. And he went all the way for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. I don't know what the future holds. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I have no idea what God's got in store. But I know we don't have to waver. Because I'm going to set my sights on Him. And I know He's going to stay where He is. And I can just continue to follow Him. And so I've got my sights set on, I've set my sights on the Lord. But then I find that it's through Him. And so I will stay strong through the Lord. I'll set my sights on Him, and then He's going to continue to keep me strong the whole way. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, He says that I have set the Lord always before me. That's where He's focused, so He won't fall. But notice this, because, and this is the reason that He won't fall, because He is my right hand. I've shared with the church before that I enjoy holding my wife's hand. One of the things that I enjoy the most is I get to hold my wife's hand, and we'll ride in the truck, and sometimes in the van, she sits in the back seat, or not the far back, but at least in the middle seat there, and she's with Jeremiah, and kind of helping him get things around, because he's only got an arm span of this long. Amen. So it's hard sometimes for him to reach something and get something. And sometimes it's difficult, especially if we're going to grab a bite to eat or do something in the van and travel. She'll usually sit back there to where she can tend to him. But in the truck, she sits in the front. And I get to hold her hand. And she's holding my hand. Is that not the importance? I mean, it really... Let me hold your hand. No, we get to hold hands. Amen. You know what she's doing? Holding mine back. And you know what happens? He's sitting in the back seat, and he will put his feet. Now, he doesn't have his shoes on in the truck because usually his shoes are muddy, and we make him pull them off before he ever gets in there. And he'll sit there, and he'll put his feet on our elbows because he wants Mama to hold, reach back behind her and hold his hand. And she's like, I can't do that, son. And so he's got to be a part. Now, if we're walking out at the farm and we're holding hands, guess who comes up in the middle? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? He's my right hand. You know what the right hand symbolizes in a military force? It's the one that stands before it or ready to go fight. If you would walk, the one that was a higher power would walk to the right of you. And they would be a step ahead of you. They outranked you. Listen, the problem that we have today and the reason that we move is because we haven't put Him at our right hand, to where He's in front of us, to where He's the higher power than us, to where He's the authority in us, to where He's the one fighting the battles for us. Three times this phrase is mentioned in the Bible. I'd like to share them with you. They're all three in the book of Psalm. In Psalm chapter number 10, in verse number 6, the Bible says, He has said in His heart, I shall not be moved. And so, in chapter 16, in verse number 8, we find it again. He says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And again, in Psalm 62, in verse number 6, we find this same phrase, I shall not be moved. He says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Reminds me of a song that we used to sing as children. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I wonder why so many times we're moved today. Maybe we forgot that we have a heritage, not a history. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful that we can look back and go all the way to the cross. May I tell you, that's not history. That's a heritage coming all the way down to us. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to look at passing on the heritage because we've got a future in front of us. But may I tell you that we need to rejoice in our heritage that we have as a child of God and able to enjoy the things of God. Come back to that pleasant place, those dividing lines that He's put out, that He's put us there, not in turmoil, but in a breath of fresh air, that we can rejoice in what He's doing. Maybe it's the point that we need to just come back and go, I'm thankful I'm not going to be moved because He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. Let's stand. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I'm thankful for the truths that You give us in Your Word. And Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight, that we wouldn't get focused on a history that there, oh Lord, it's so easy to get frustrated at everything going on and just get so aggravated at just the mess of it all and how man is messing it up. But Lord, instead that we would just focus on You. And Lord, that we'd just rejoice in that heritage that You've given us. Father, help us today. Lord, that at the very end of it, we would come back and we would just realize that I'm thankful that no one can take away my salvation. I'm thankful, Lord, that no one can tax the supply of the riches that You have for me. And Lord, I'm thankful no one can tear down my stand. Lord, help us today. Use this invitation to Your glory and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The music softly plays. God spoke to your heart. I'd encourage you, maybe even there where you are, maybe it's time to just kneel down and thank God for the lines that He's drawn, the place that He's put you. inheritance is given. That no man can take away. They can't touch my heritage. They can tear down all the statues.
Lord, I'm always in your presence.
They can take away all the history. They can corrupt all of that, but they can't touch my heritage.
You're behind me and before me, underneath and above. The darkness and the light are both the same to you. I couldn't hide from your spirit, even if I wanted to. My Emmanuel, you are with me. Oh, Emmanuel, there's nowhere you won't be. If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me. If I ascend up to heaven or make my bed below, I know your hand will hold me wherever I may go. Before I was formed, you already knew my days. Lord, I have no secrets. You know every path I take. My Emmanuel, you are with me. Oh, Emmanuel, there's nowhere you won't be. If I take the wings of the morning or fall into the deepest sea, even there, you are with me. How precious are your thoughts. Oh God, they're always on me, more in number than the sand. Oh, how great.